just go live with it, Ryan. You don't have any like guilty pleasures of things that you just like look at? Like I look at cars and houses and things like that. You don't have any of this kind of stuff?
Dude, I love shopping. I love shopping. I love clothes. That's my guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
And shoes. I have a sneaker issue.
It's a miserable life. I've got way too much clothes. I just chuck stuff out. Literally, when I'm traveling on trips like this, because we just end up getting so much stuff given to us, I just will show up with a bag and I'll throw half of my stuff out, even though it's pretty much brand new. And I always end up wearing the same stuff anyways, sweatpants, shorts, and like this represent hoodie. That's it.
Yeah.
Like I just went through, I have like hundreds of hats, and I just found this hat that says beer.
Oh, I like that.
Bear beer, and it's got a bottle cap popper right underneath this thing. So
wait, I need to know where you got your dump him hat.
I was in New York at a shop.
Okay, not helpful at all, but I really want that hat.
I mean, you could probably just Google it right now and get it online on like Etsy or something like that. But dude, I had gotten off the Appalachian Trail and I had no clothes because I'd flown over from World Championships, hiked the Appalachian Trail, met up with a friend of mine. She and I just went downtown shopping and I just went into the store and picked up like a pair of Hoochie Daddy shorts and a hat that said dump him. And I was walking through the streets and they were like,
it's an Urban Outfitter hat.
It was Urban Outfitters.
Yeah. There you go, Meg.
I literally got more eyes on me.
Can you send me that link, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Buy that
shit. Of course you did.
I looked like such a hoe. Like I'd just come off the trail. it was a good ass look, dude. Were you just in the gym?
The garage gym, yeah. I was down in my basement. It's 20 degrees in New York and it snowed this morning. So it was a bit nippy down there.
So you're already back at it.
You got to get
I'm just
Mr.
lifting. Keaton. I'm just lifting. This is what I love to do.
I did a bro pump yesterday with my friend Mike, but like I can honestly say that my quads are so fucked up, I can't go up and down stairs.
Still, I see this was the first race that I have run a Hyrox where the next day I didn't feel like I got hit by a bus. I was like, so then I was terrified that Monday was going to be just absolutely awful, but I recovered super fast.
We all went out and had dinner, but you didn't go drinking like we did it. So probably that's why you have a better recovery time than we did.
Mm-hmm. I should have, because then I sat in an airport for 7 hours the next day. So I should have just partied all night. It wouldn't have mattered.
Wasting your time, bro.
Wasting.
Did you end up missing your flight?
No, I just had to sit in the airport for forever. It got delayed forever.
Oh, I don't put up with that shit. Dude, I woke up.
I totally am, Jared.
What's that? Is it?
Oh, his comment said Meg's bragging that she felt great the next day after dominating.
Yeah, she's big dicking me right now. I feel awful. I feel awful, but I haven't really been doing like the high rock stuff. So I went all in on that, and I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do any more of this stuff. I'm gonna go bike riding all week. Like, do you not take after a big event like that? You set a world record. Like, you obviously had a good result, but you don't take some time off to yourself, get your nails did, and just chill, or do you want to get right back to it?
I usually just like I do whatever I want. Like, I don't like set anything. I have no plan. It's just like if I feel like doing something, that's what I do. But I usually like want to get back into lifting. I love lifting, and I feel like close to a race, we kind of cut that kind of stuff back. So I'm usually eager to like get back under a barbell when I'm done with a race. So that's all I'm doing this week. It's pumping up.
Can you guys be honest with me for 2 seconds? Not that I'm trying to detract from what you said. Is this better or is this better?
Option one.
You guys want this? You guys want enhanced?
Also, are big baggy jeans back? Because I'm not here for it. I just got used to the tight stretch jeans. I like my stretch jeans. I don't want to go baggy because that always chafed my legs. And I finally found a jeans in what's hip, and I found some stretch jeans. It's like, these are great. And now on that dump him link, it says shop the look. And you look down below, it's like things that you can add. The Levi 551 Z crops.
It's definitely the look, dude.
Baggy ass jeans.
Cargos are back. I'll give you my cargo.
Yeah, I was rocking cargo this whole trip. So I'll give you my 2 cents on this. I'm now sponsored by a fashion brand, and I would not say I'm like fashion forward. I'm just a dude. And I really, like, when I hang out with the guys who own Represent, their style, like, all bagged out. Like, we wear the same exact clothes because it's the same company, but our fits are totally different, and it's a totally different look. Like, I'm wearing a skin-tight Represent shirt, and theirs is, like, a gigantic blanket. It's a poncho. And I think I'm out, dude. I need to learn some shit.
I don't like the baggy look.
Do any fashion trends come up from upstate New York? Because if they do, I'm unaware of it. And if they don't, I'm fully aware of why.
We definitely, cargos have been happening up here for a long time before they were cool.
What is upstate New York known for besides misery?
Okay, so my town is known for chicken speedies. And they are this marinated chicken. And it's like a special marinade. They do deer, they do pork, and there's a whole festival for them, but it is pretty delicious and fantastic.
It sounds like every other redneck city in the United States. It's like
we have the best burger in the world. And it's like, no, you don't. But
dude, you got fried I bet you got fried gator, possum, all that kind of stuff up there. Muskrat.
Yeah.
Binghamton, New York. That's where
the Big Hamptons of upstate New York.
Rick Glowacki, this based on his name, he says he's from Syracuse, and of course you're from Syracuse with a name like that. Dude, that is the North. Anytime I meet somebody, probably the most beautiful girl I've ever met in my life, and I probably should have married, was from up there. And we didn't stick it out because I would not go there. I was like, I know the rest of the world exists. I'm not coming up to your area.
It's, you grew up in literally Connecticut. It is like not that much different than Connecticut. I don't know what you're talking about.
Connecticut is the nutmeg state. It is rich and prosperous. Where you guys are from, can't say as much. Have you seen the show Trailer Park Boys? I'm assuming that every single cultural epicenter is just like the Trailer Park Boys. Did somebody just give us $5?
Thank you, Jarabi. I'm going to stop saying names.
I didn't even know that we could do that.
Yeah.
Jabari House. What is Jabari House? I don't even know where this money goes. I'd split it with you, but I don't know where it goes. So I'm sorry. This is a feature that they just implemented on our podcast. This is pretty fun. So I've got like a million and one things I want to ask you. I kind of, just like with Kent, like I like to space conversations out with people so that we end up having some interesting things to talk about rather than just shooting the shit. But it is fun shooting the shit with you. You know, I guess I'll start here. Like, first of all, how does it feel to be back on top? Because I'm going to lead this and then I want to dig into the weeds on it. You lost world championships after being the world record holder. And then after that, and I was watching, you know, quietly on the sidelines, you didn't have the greatest summer.
Okay.
Admittedly, you had like a fucking baller spring. You were fucking everybody up. Okay. And then world championships happened. And then you didn't have like all these world beater results like you were having in the spring. And I'm wondering, like, have you sat back and reflected at all on what it feels like to be back on top?
Well, I did set the Decafit world record my first time doing it. So I wouldn't say it was a terrible summer, but I don't really care about Spartan. So for me, it's like, yeah, whatever. But
terrible. I didn't say
Lauren beat me in Matt's competition down in West Virginia in final elimination. So yeah, she beat me twice, like within probably like a 2 month span. Let's just say, okay, on your live stream of Chicago, I remember I rewatched it and you said that Meg is coming in with the biggest chip on her shoulder this year. And if anyone doubts that, you couldn't be more wrong. And it does not matter to me that I just won these two majors. That chip is still there and will be there all season because Worlds is what matters the most, and I want that title. So I bring in the heat.
Yeah, I give you a parallel story. 2021, I lost world championships, and then I started out with 2022 with a loss to Kent. at national championships. And then I decided to do a Spartan race just for fun. And I had been out of like trail running, which admittedly is so different from the kind of training that we were doing. I took 10th place in a Spartan race and Kent took one place ahead of me. And it was just like nut kick, nut kick, nut kick.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you had lost Worlds. You went to compete at Rally in the Valley, lost that. And then I think I heard about you taking like a third place at like a Decafit or something like that. Like you got hurt on a box or something like that. And I was just watching these things and, you know, you're new to this sport for the most part, but sometimes people are able to come in and have this rookie year and just wreck it. And then all of a sudden one bad thing happens and it's like a pin at hole in a balloon. Like it doesn't matter. Like eventually the air is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if that was going to happen to you. And I was wondering, like, did that at all like kind of hit you? Like maybe that was happening to you, or was that just not even a consideration?
I don't think that was even really a consideration, just because I think, like yourself, I'm just extremely mentally tough and I'm also extremely confident in myself. So Hyrox is definitely the best fit in hybrid for me right now. And so kind of after that Decafit in Orlando, you know, I got my body fixed up and it was like full throttle into Hyrox training after that. So, and it's clearly doing well for me. But no, I don't think that I was like doubting my ability too much. I think I just had a couple off things happen and I kind of just shook it off, 'cause it was like, this shit doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Like it's not, Decafit Orlando doesn't mean shit. So
Decafit Orlando is a really big deal.
It's a huge deal.
You're talking about the outskirts of Disneyland with some kind of garage pump fitness festival called Deca Shit. Since we're on the conversation of Decafit, like how do you feel about that? Because now you've spent enough time where it's like, I never even dipped my toe in Decafit. Like they made us do a Decafit at Spartan Games. And I set the world record there, and then I've never touched it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of these kind of things where, you know, I wonder, you know, sometimes you sit with yourself, you're like, am I making the right decision by going here this weekend or here this weekend? Like, obviously you came to Stockholm instead of Decafit World Championships. Like, did you have any kind of FOMO? Did you have any kind of like, man, I'm making the wrong decision, or like, what's happening over there?
No, and I think a huge part of it is just like the production value that Hyrox brings to the table is like so much better. The quality of the race is so much better. It's way more challenging, in my opinion. And if you're trying to grow yourself in this sport, which I'm really trying to do, like I'm working really hard on the background stuff, like creating a brand for myself. And I know I've picked your brain on stuff like this a bunch of times. If you want to be seen and you want to have a career in hybrid fitness, DECA's not going to get you there. Hyrox has definitely got way more eyes, way more investors, way more companies looking at it. It's way bigger. It's all over the world at this point. It's continuously growing. So if you want to grow yourself as an athlete, and this is something you're involved in, especially if you're in the Elite 15, Hyrox is where it's at, I think. So for me, it's like, it's just a no-brainer. Like, I'm going to pick that over anything else every time. So.
The amount of brands that are aligning itself with Hyrox.
Exactly.
Is crazy. It's awesome.
Exactly. Like, and I think like.
At Manchester, I mean, they pulled a Jeep into the right outside the Rock Zone area where they were selling merch and everything for Built for Athletes. Like people want to be involved.
Yeah. And I think like. I think I'm not someone who doesn't understand the fact that like we have no idea where this is going to end up, but at the same time, it's growing at a really high trajectory right now. And you got to be in the game if you want to become one of the people that, they want to showcase, you know what I mean? And again, like I'm sitting here, I've talked to Hunter about this kind of stuff a million times, like asking him what I should do just for tips on that kind of stuff. You know, our time will come like at some point where we can't perform at the level that maybe we're performing at now. Hopefully not anytime soon, but like my goal is to be one of the legends of the sport. So I'm doing whatever I can to align myself in that way.
I always used to joke around with people and tell them that I'd become a mud run millionaire. Like I was going to become a millionaire off of mud running. And I did my fucking darndest to make that happen. But I did not get a payout from that. And then, you know, some pretty big things happened that were interesting for me, some door opening and, you know, moments for me. But this Hyrox thing is at a capacity that's unlike anything else I've ever witnessed. Like I've gone to the CrossFit Games. I've been working there with them. I've been going to the CrossFit Games on and off since 2013, and it's almost at that level of production and value. So you got your head in the right direction. I just want to give a shout out to Bubbles. Bubbles the Clown. There's this dude that we've been racing with. I don't even know if you know who he is.
Oh, I know him. Yeah, I was chatting with him yesterday.
We've been racing with him on and off for like a decade. And no offense, man, if you're listening to this, like, don't take this the wrong way. He's not an A-list athlete. Like, he hasn't been there. Like, you wouldn't, like, sit there and be like, yo, this is the biggest threat going in. And you've got these two guys like Rylan and Kent who are there this weekend who are clearly, like, crowd favorites, you know, top picks to win. Nick Rikers, the Megidas, all that kind of stuff. You've got some decorated dudes. And this dude, Bubbles the Clown, pile drive the competition. Like, just came through like one of those slow-mo videos you see of like a running back giving the ball and just fucking lit everybody up, put them on their backs, and won the Deca Strong Championship.
Yeah.
And to me,
out of nowhere. I've seen this guy.
Dude, they were on the bikes already. Rylan and Kent were on the bikes riding. And you just see Bubbles roll up and even take time to adjust his seat and everything and then get on and get off the bike within 15 seconds. Like, it was insane. He shattered the bike. And then he went on to win the thing. And by my, in my opinion, dude, like, that's what makes sport interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, when you see like an underdog team just wallop these champions, like that's what makes sport interesting. And like, you know, I would not have had a doubt in my mind watching either Kent or Rylan win the whole thing. And Rylan almost did what they called the sweep. We're winning all of them.
Yeah.
And that dude showed up and did that. And I can honestly say, like, I could care less about DecaFit this weekend. No offense to anybody. It's just, we had our own priorities going on.
Yeah.
And things keep on popping up on social media, and I literally forgot about the rest of the weekend when I saw Bubbles crew come through, and I like was glowing. So shout out to him, dude. That was a moment in sport that I will remember. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'll keep the flow going here. So I guess the thing that's like interesting to me is I've been with Weeks for 5-6 years now, just mm-hmm. like watching her do her thing, and she's gotten better over time. Like, she started out as like a raw potential to now like a world weapon. You just kind of stepped in as a world weapon, and I'm wondering, like, what do you think makes you so uniquely good at this thing? Because you clearly, I've even the small period of time of knowing you, your body's like changed in a way that it seems like it's adapting to the sport, and you just keep on breaking world records. What, you've broken the world record twice now?
Three times.
Mm-hmm. And are you the only woman, I guess you and Weeks are the only women under 60 and you're the only one woman under 59?
Yes.
You've done that twice now.
Twice.
Like, do you have any kind of inclination of like what made you so good? And like, now that you've also been doing this for a year or so, like, do you feel like you know what's making you better, or is it still like,
I definitely changed a lot, like, so far going into this season compared to what I was doing last year. And a huge part, I think, of why I've been so successful is just my running background. Like, I am probably, not to be like patting myself on the back, but I would say that I'm the fastest pure runner out there on the race course, just in general.
5K time.
16:42.
Oh, dang. Recent?
2 years ago. And then in the spring, I did a 17:20 solo time trial by myself. Interesting. Yeah. So yeah, that was in May of this past spring. And I haven't done a 5K. I was just saying to myself, I better hop in one right now because I know my running fitness is really strong at the moment. But so age is that, but also I think the ability to be like muscularly as strong as I am. Like I benched 210 the week of Chicago and I weigh like 140 pounds. So not that like your bench press is like making your high rocks crazy 30, good. But...
305 last week. No big deal.
Yeah. So I just think it's the ability to both be fast and having a really high level of strength at the same time. I think that that's a little bit unique and not many women are able to do that or putting up the numbers I think that I'm putting up and also running, you know, 530 miles regularly. So
would you say,
yeah,
like obviously the running is extremely important, but like, pound for pound being as strong as you are, like, do you think getting stronger is more valuable for you? Or do you think just like getting fitter is more valuable for you right now?
I think probably just getting fitter. Like if I can maintain this level of strength and just keep getting faster, then I don't think many people will be able to touch me, you know, like just genuinely. Cause like, again, it's like you watch the race, you guys were commentating Chicago. You can see a lot of the weaknesses in the other athletes. And I don't mean this in a mean way.
You piece of shit, but
when you look at the strong athletes in the walking lunges, you can see like the dips of the hips or having to take the double step the differences. And all of that makes a huge difference in these races, especially as you get tired.
So I was saying that during the broadcast and I got roasted afterwards for being a monster.
Well, but I do think like this, these are the conversations a lot of the women that I race against want to have with me after the race, like the picking my brain on like, hey, what are you doing for your running? Hey, what are you doing for your lifting and your strength? And I'm always happy to give tips and advice, like to the best of my ability. But I think having that high level of muscular endurance and high level of strength is super important. So I think the women's side is neglecting that, as not everybody, but probably many people are neglecting that piece a little bit too much, in my opinion.
It was interesting. I did this row relay event with
Tim Lynch and Michaels.
You guys should have done it with us. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And Tim's a phenomenally fit athlete, and so is Sambatch. We got on this thing, and Sambatch and I were under 130 the entire time we were on. Mm-hmm. Tim would like start at like 120 something and then start to float way up into the 130s very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just didn't have the strength endurance, and he's injured right now. So this is not a dig at him by any means, but you could see where that strength endurance for them just goes like up and then floats down pretty quickly. That sustainability, like I think not only like does it allow you to have more output, but also it doesn't like hit you like a truck after these big heavy stations. And
exactly.
Like, I don't even know. Do you know what your running splits were when you
were? Yeah, they were like, they were all, I think like in the 340s, like high, like 345, 346. I think my fastest was in the 330s though. And it was after the sled pull. I think it was like 335. So
I did 323 to 328. Because I had the guys doing like the little thing. But if you go and look at the spreadsheet, my runs are like all over the place, which I don't get because I don't know if it's because the way we had to come into the rock zone and do stuff differently. Because you could like come into the rock zone and immediately go to the farmer carry, or you come to the rock zone, then come down to lane, come over, go all the way right, and then come in.
So that is I think the difference of a lot of that stuff. Because I was looking at like my run off of the rower, which was further from the out, was like 4 minutes, but it was like the furthest from the out. So it is kind of hard especially on the grid. It's kind of hard to know like what your station splits actually were, because the mat is like where the in is. And then you're running for like 30 seconds still before you even start the station. So it is kind of tricky to look at, but oh, here we go.
So out of curiosity, let's look at some, like, can you go over to like her stations? I want to see how good her stations are. And then if you could bring up mine, I want to see if she's tougher than I am.
Okay. Well, this race, I didn't even like win any stations, which was crazy. I usually, yeah, I mean, but look at my run though.
Having the run is so important.
So your first run is 353, second 347, 344, 335, 345, 401 when you came out of the row.
Yeah, that was like far away.
So was she faster than me? Because those times seem like they're faster than my times.
They seem pretty quick. Let me go back. Race results. Oh, good. It's keeping up with us. Frankfurt. Let's go back to Stockholm. And we're going elite. Is there a difference between elite and pro weight? I think somebody had a question on there.
It's the same.
Elite and pro are the same. Okay. Hunter. All right. 339. 334. 328, 333, 337.
Did you beat me or did I beat you?
What's his run total? No, he beat me.
2905.
I was 3043.
Fucking smoked your ass.
Barely, dude.
What? 3043? Didn't I beat you by a
minute and a half? A minute and a half.
Lazy ass mother.
Yeah, but your time was way faster, so.
It's because I fucking go ham. I'm really excited.
Timeout. What was your? You were still second in burpee broad jumps with your penalties.
Dude, I did the math on that.
That's crazy.
I'm not going to be a dick about this publicly, but I'm not going to be aggressive about it, dude. If you go back, we all went back and we watched the videos, so I could count the amount of seconds that I was losing because of this. Dude, if you watch other people in those stations, how much they were fucking up. And Mintra just only looked at me. And I mentioned her afterwards. I'm like, just because I'm the best doesn't mean you guys can just specifically attack me. Like, I get that I need to be like exemplary with my actions. And I should do better. And I respect that. But they were just like grossly letting all of these other dudes just do whatever the fuck they want. Like, there were some people that were literally like walking in between their steps, and I'm like, this is lame. So
yeah, I had my judge was also extremely hard on me on my burpees, and it slowed me way down, like way down. Every single jump he was like commenting on where my hands were every single time. So like, I just felt like I was being extremely cautious. And like, I'm usually first in burpee broad jumps, so I was like, the fuck, you know? But they were very, very intense on the burpee form. And I agree with you. We should be held to the highest standard. But they definitely, like, said some stuff to you very specifically in the briefing the night before.
The microscope on you.
100%. 100%.
Dude, they also did me dirty and they changed my judge out. I went over everything with my judge before, and then 30 seconds before I went off, they just gave me a new judge randomly. I'm like, this was all fucking designed. This is a dirty trick by the Germans, and I'm not going to fight anymore, but I'm just going to do better. I'm going to run faster. But I would have been so close to 52 if it wasn't for those no reps.
Yeah.
That's Paul, my frustration.
If you look at the rules, Hunter actually had 33 no reps. Well, Paul.
We wouldn't stress him for anything. He's an idiot.
I guess I don't know what they mean by that you would have had 33 no reps. Like, what do you mean? What's the rule we're talking about?
He's probably right. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
That was rude of me to say, Paul. I don't know what I'm saying. Honestly, I want to do a better job. That's all I'm going to say. I want to do a better job. I'm not going to talk shit to anybody. I also shouldn't say mean things about anybody because I'm trying to be a changed man 2024.
They put the
new year, new you
marks or the tape on there to help with that. They're like, you know, this will help with burpee broad jumps. And they put those grid line tapes on there to specifically help to manage the step ups or where your hands are and then where your feet come up too.
It's not the step up that's the issue. Usually it's the hands going down on the ground compared to like where your feet are. That's like typically the problem. that they're looking at most critically.
Well, forward motion has you as you're coming down. You aren't going backwards. You're
they leaving. Wanted me jumping backwards every single time. I ended up having to jump my feet backwards every single time, which I'm like, I don't think this is, I don't know.
You're going over, but they're so focused on making sure the rules are there that they're going overboard with making
I tend to feel that way, that it's like getting a little overboard.
We can whatever. All do better. So let me go back through this stuff. I was looking at the notes, and I think something that may be interesting is like you guys have now created your own coaching business, and you have RMR, and you guys have created teams. Like, do you believe that like super teams may become something of the future here? Because you guys seem to have your teams where you're doing doubles together. You probably will set up a relay team together. It seems like there's potential for it. Like, I think honestly, teams may be one of the biggest and most interesting pieces to this whole puzzle. Like, I think it may be the thing that grows the fastest in this sport. Individual, even though it is very exciting, I think, in my belief, the team has the biggest opportunity for camera moving forward.
Yeah. I also think it makes it a little more attainable for people. Like, there's a lot of really, really good athletes out there, but 5 miles of running is probably fairly intimidating to some of those people. So like having relays, like imagine if you took a ton of like really good CrossFit athletes and put them on a relay where they only had to run 2 kilometers, but they could crush the stations. Like that could be like really
stations as well.
It'd be very competitive. Right?
Exactly. They were talking to me about how they want to create elite relays and potentially have it at Worlds with prize money. So I'm just putting this out there. If the US has an elite relay, they did say it had to be a mixed team. It's got to be you, me, Kent, and Lauren. I feel like
Team America.
I don't think anybody will stand a chance against us. Actually, maybe we do that this year and we just get a record in that. Just saying. That's the only record I don't have, by the way.
Is a relay?
Yeah. I have all of the records.
You have double chicks?
I have doubles chicks. I have mixed.
Who'd you do double chicks with?
Michaela Norman, but I think Lauren and I have discussed doing it if we can like figure out a race that works for both of us, which would be wicked fun.
Michaela didn't seem to have like a race that I've witnessed her do like at a high level before. Do you think she's going to have an epic comeback this year?
I would never count her out because she's run some of the fastest times we've seen on the women's field. She's run a few 60-minute races. So I would certainly never count her out, but I think Lauren and I are on a different level at this point. So I'm not sure that we'll see her beat either of us this year.
Yeah, the thing that I noticed is that you guys have this flow state. You're smooth, 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 smooth. And I was watching her and she was like biting on a piece of wood the whole time, like as if someone was chopping her arm off. She had this like kind of face.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to have pretty ugly workout faces too when you're pushing really hard. But if she was going 99%, you guys seemed like you were going like 92%. You were just like in that flow state, which I think is a massive part of being really good at this sport, is being able to be in flow, like never fully maxing out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else?
Can I ask her a question? Do you wear like the what is it called? The Aura ring or Aura ring or the Whoop or are you just tracking a Garmin? Nothing?
I have a Garmin that I hardly look at.
Yeah.
Yep. I just go off of feel. And then like if I know I'm trying to go for a record, like Chicago, I was just trying to win because it was for qualifying places. Mm-hmm. But then this race, like, it's like, okay, well, I just won. I'm already qualified. So now we're going for times. So I kind of just look at it to like, I kind of know where I need to be at certain points, time-wise. So that's really all I'm looking at. I don't look at my heart rate during a race. I don't look at pace. Your pace is never going to be right on your watch because you're running inside. It's just, there's too many inaccuracies. I think these are great tools and things that you can use in training. But I think if people are way too focused on that stuff in the race. Like it can hinder your performance. If you're like, holy shit, my heart rate's 185.
Incredible.
Like, are you going to slow down? Like, yeah. I'm not, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Sometimes
since you had already qualified for Worlds, was this race set out, you know, you set the intention to hit a world record, or were you more focused on, hey, I've already qualified, I want to try this out that I've never tried before, and maybe to help me be faster in another part when I do go after, you know, the title match in world championships? Like, hey, I'll try to run super fast on the runs and go slower on the stations, or vice versa. Was this kind of like a testing the thing?
I definitely went in saying, so after Chicago, like I didn't feel like I had maxed out. So I was like, all right, we're going for the record in Stockholm, because I felt like I was in this kind of shape, and I know what my splits, you know, had been in workouts, and I know where I was last year when I got it in Anaheim. So I was like, all right. And if you can do that on the grid, I think it's even more legit, because the grid sucks a lot of time in certain areas, you know, just even a few seconds on every turn that you make on the grid, and like the lunges or burpees or whatever. So I knew that was my goal coming into Stockholm. And that's really probably going to be my goal, like moving forward in a lot of these races, is just like, see how fast I can go.
I think a big piece of people being able to race once they've already qualified is risk taking.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you just like race with a different strategy. Is like, from what I understand, I heard Ronkovich just said that he was like, I just wanted to go really hard from the start. I'm used to like racing way ahead of Ronkovich, and then Ronkovich kind of catching up slower in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't guarantee that was a strategy. It's just what I heard someone tell me they said to him. So second handed, but you'll probably see some really crazy times coming up from people who have qualified. They're just like, fuck it, I'm all out.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
And you're only going to get those results if you try different stuff, if you take early on risks, you know, where you send it a little bit harder at the beginning than you're comfortable with. Like, that's the only way you're going to do it. When you get to that level, like, I know, Hunter, you feel this way. When you get to like your top level, it's so marginal. Like, the gains are so marginal. They're so small. It's like 2 seconds here, 2 seconds here, 2 seconds here. Like, it's not like you're not seeing typically like these huge, like I only broke my record by 6 seconds, you know, but it's like, so it's just marginal, like small gains, but you're not going to see them if you do the same thing every time. There's only so much time you can gain by having the same strategy over and over, I think. Yeah. So
I don't know what the hell is going to happen. I think I'll probably bust out like a high 51 or a low 52 this year. I think you probably, from watching you, could probably get another 60 seconds off.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is how much people complain about this new qualification thing. Like, this girl Tracy says it sucks for athletes that they have to spend money to keep on going to races. Like, yeah, man, it's a sport. It's like, I just watched this documentary talking about these Tour de France teams, and there's so much money that goes into orchestrating that sport, like millions of dollars. I bet you some athletes are having to spend maybe $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 to go chase this year. And that's what it takes to want to be a professional. Think about how much money parents invest in their children, being invested in children's sport, taking them to the sports every single day, buying them all the equipment, taking them to a tournament an hour and a half to 4 hours away. That's what it's called being an athlete. You're investing your money and time for these greater potentials. So everyone's got these really negative attitudes about what's going on. Like, you just suck it up or do something else.
Like, I mean, we're also spending money to go do these. Like,
yeah, I know what I'm saying.
You know, I'm taking time off from work. I have a family. Like, nobody's sponsoring my travel. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm not guaranteed to win anything. You know, like, what if I travel to across the world and I'm jet lagged like fuck, or I get sick? Like, nothing is guaranteed. You know, we're all in that boat. So. I don't know. And it's like, you don't have to do it either. Like, that's why there's been people who got in based on the roll down, because other people said no. Like, it's not mandatory. So
it is a sport, and people got to invest in it. When I went to the CrossFit Games, I think I spent $7,000 the week of going to the CrossFit Games. I got nothing in return. I just wanted the experience to go compete at the CrossFit Games. The tickets, the sign up, the hotel, like, it was crazy. But I still have my CrossFit band hanging over there. It's something, it's an accomplishment to just be a part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever.
I look at it as an investment in myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm investing in me. So,
speaking of an investment, you are recently retired. You don't work anymore.
I wish the retired was actually true.
Yeah. What is it like? How was it having that conversation with yourself? I'm assuming you got paid pretty well at your job.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're looking at the future of two potentials, being a career-based woman or being an athlete-based woman. Mm-hmm. And you already have a kid. You look at the world in a way that, like, you're taking care of yourself plus one. Like, what was that dive like?
It was initially pretty scary, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like if you want to have success in something, like, you can't, you have to, like, throw yourself in fully. Like, you're never gonna, like, you gotta give it everything. You gotta go all in. And last year, even, like, I was going all in on training, but having that piece and that additional stress from work life and work life balance and making sure I'm getting 40 hours in and working for the man, and like, that is a huge weight and added stress on somebody who's trying to be an athlete too. And I kind of knew that, like, if I didn't take this leap, that I'd probably be stuck in this corporate world forever, and fitness is my passion. So it just seemed like the right time to, like, dive in and give it everything I got. And if it doesn't work out, I can always go back to working a desk job and making good money and hating life a lot when I'm there.
I often think nowadays, because of how much work that we have going on with the business, like,
yeah,
my easiest day is racing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have no clue, like, the bills that we have to look at, the deadlines we have to look at, the shit that we were doing to prepare for Black Friday. And it's like, almost having a job gives you this other aspect of your life where it doesn't put this crazy emphasis on being an athlete. And God damn, it feels nice going into the gym and not having to look at my phone vibrate all the time with responsibilities. And mm-hmm. someone, like, no one tells me what to do. I'm my own boss, but that's almost even worse at times, because everybody else I have to dictate for and delegate to, it's crazy. Like, I have 6 paychecks I have to hit every single Monday, every 1st and 15th. And now, like, I guess my only piece of advice for you is balance. I know that you still have your other little functioning job, but sometimes I've just witnessed this, and you don't seem like the kind of girl that would fall into this trap, but you put so much emphasis on the sport that it almost makes you fragile.
Yeah.
Get what I'm trying to say?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any other hard things going on in your life, so this just seems like the only thing. And once that pinhole opens up, like I was talking about earlier, you are now in a place where you're compromised. So, like, imagine if you didn't win the last 2 races and didn't just win $12,000. Now, all of a sudden, you're just sitting there with yourself and you're like, fuck, fuck. Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. That's what I'm mm-hmm. talking about.
No, I get that. And I think that's a huge part of why I am working full time at the training center that I work at. And I 1-to-1 coach. We have the app. Like, I never want to be under the pressure of having to win, like, because monetarily I need it. That's something that I never want to be at. So, you know, I made sure that when I walked out, I was set up and I was able to financially do it and afford it so that I didn't have that stress and pressure on me. Cause I do, this is my passion and this is fun. Like, I have, I'm never having more fun than when I'm competing. But I didn't want it to become like where my livelihood depended on it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just extra bonus points for me. So
you are very brand worthy, but you don't have any brands you're really working with except for Powerlift, I guess. Powerlift?
Yeah.
Powerlift.
Yeah, yeah. Like, come on, man. Call me up, people.
Yeah. Is there any dream brands that you really want to work with?
Dream brands?
Like, what would be your ideal situation? Like, do you, like, have you always dreamed of being like a little kid and having your own, like, a shoe company you work with? Like, what is like, you know, your ideal situation? If you wrote your, you know, children write down their favorite gifts that they're going to get for Christmas, like, what would be your favorite brands?
Oh my God. I don't, none of them would like probably be fitness. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It'd be sick to like work with like Rogue or like some of those big companies, get like a gym outfitted at my house. I would love that.
I'll connect you.
I've run in Saucony shoes forever. It'd be sick to get a call from them. I race in the Endorphin Pros or New Balance. I've trained in those. Like, it'd be cool to get some of those bigger, you know, more well-known brands like into the space and interested in working with athletes like us.
I'm going to connect you with Better Body Fitness and get you a gym set up.
All right. Perfect. Because it is a little ghetto, I have to say. Like, it works, but it's a little ghetto.
You get a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's how we do. I'm like, yeah, I don't need fancy stuff.
I got. I actually have one of his friends, Matt Kempson, when it was COVID, and he's like, "What do I do for money?" So he was promoting Matt Kempson. I still have his pull up bar, and things freaking rock solid. It's amazing. So I got there a Matt Kempson chin up bar. I got some assault bikes, and all just different brands for.
Boom, dude! You're set up.
Appreciate you.
You know, I started out my career with two kettlebells and a TRX.
Love it.
And I used to put rocks and kettlebells inside of a bucket and run up and down a hill outside of my house.
I used to drag a fire station tire up the hill. Yeah.
Yeah. Fire station tire up the hill. You got to understand, like, you know, there's a beautiful place, like there's a beautiful place in being where you are right now. There's an experience where you become a version of yourself, and then you're going to hit this Hollywood version of yourself where, man, I'm like throwing out equipment. You know, people are giving me all these gifts and I'm just like, I tell my friends, I'm like, come get it. And you don't want to hit that place. You want to be hard. You want to be like Rambo.
Yeah.
Like a burlap sack and a freaking, like just a really sharp knife. And like, that's it. Like, you guys, dude, got guns and bazookas. Like, you guys, I'm tearing you up.
My barbell was like broken for like a year. And I just refused to pay like $400 for a new one. I was like, nah, it's fine. It's a little janky, but it's cool. Like, you just got to twist this in. It's fine, you know.
Dude, I've split barbells like that before.
Yeah.
Are the screws starting to come out on the sides? Yeah, you don't want that, dude. I'm telling you right now, like, we were lifting and doing Olympic lifting, and it went pa-ting and like came out. And it's like a dagger inside of there. Like, I almost lost half my face. Yeah.
Yeah, I just like refuse. Well, I finally did get one, but like, it took a long time. I was like, no, it's cool. I like things a little janky. It's fine, you know. I do pull-ups in my garage, like on the metal bar, like that. I don't have a pull-up bar. It's literally just like a dusty, it's like a header for the ceiling that I do pull-ups on. Like,
you're talking about,
gotta stay humble.
Like a plumber's pipe with some tape on top of it. Someone asked if you were running in 10,000 shorts. Do they make 10,000 shorts for chicks?
No, not yet. But they are, and they just asked me to wear them because Kent is sponsored by them, and I did get some benefit from wearing those shorts in the mixed relay. They are pretty comfortable. I wore
those are Goodwill hand-me-downs.
They were like, you're good.
Gotta work for my team, baby. Fuck you guys. Sorry.
I like the 247 stuff. They just.
It's all dude like, stuff. I tried to get you one of your their hoodies, and it sold out in 20 minutes.
Yeah, and they're like,
super
embarrassed
to say. They're such an awesome brand, but they are just by the book. But what they do, like, I already put a stain on that pink shirt because I packed all my clothes in, and I had wet laundry inside of a bag, and it soaked through into this blue bag and stained my pink hoodie already. And I probably will never get another one. That's just how it is from now on. I'm their guy, and there's like, yeah, dude.
Sorry.
I wonder, like, for you at this point, have you ever looked into the future and thought to yourself, like, this would be my ultimate goal? Or are you right now just kind of riding the wave with a surfboard with a smile?
I think a little bit of both. I'm definitely like riding the wave and kind of like seeing what's going to happen. But I've definitely realized, like, I love being at the events. Like, I love talking to the people. I love all of that. I could see myself getting into commentating, like being the person on the mic, talking about what's going on during the race. I could definitely see myself getting involved in sports in a different way. And I think that that is a really cool thing this experience has given me, is like, just like a different mindset on like what the future could look like. Cause I think probably a year ago, I would have thought I'd be in like upstate New York and working at my company and retiring there. So it's
like pulling hubcaps off of trucks and stuff.
No, I built laser beams.
Oh,
way cooler.
I don't know.
Way cooler. I assume
that you basically work in like an 18-wheeler bay and just kind of
pull
off the trucks with like wrenches and stuff.
We're just hardcore up here. I work for an engineering company.
You wear a Carhartt onesie most of the time.
She's the Angelina Jolie character in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yes, I used to
date this girl, and she had such bad hands from lifting all the time. I used to say that she worked on the docks and shucked oysters all day, and I would not be confused if you did the same exact thing. You're just like out there in some kind of weird port.
But there's no ports in the middle of New York, dude.
No, what are you talking about? You might be up in one of those like those lakes, you know, one of the the Great Lake up there.
That's Finger Lakes. Yeah.
That might as well. No. I'm talking about the real big one. That's like
Lake
an ocean.
Ontario.
Yeah.
Lake Ontario.
Yeah. Come on. You know, there's some ports out there. You just like a shipping container boat.
Yeah.
Moving around with a wrench.
That's
in your
me.
Box.
Just like, let's go.
What did the
catch bring in today?
We have like 200 questions.
All right.
I don't know. Oh, we're just going to answer any of them. You know, if you want to get involved in media, one of the things that we're doing is, you know, I would build yourself up, because I was thinking about this. This girl's like, yeah, we need some women brands. It's really interesting how there's so many men's brands in sports, but there's not a lot of women's brands. But there's a lot of like athleisure lifestyle women's brands.
Yes.
Like, I would say Lululemon's primarily a female brand.
Yeah.
Aloe Yoga is primarily a female brand. Like, I went to Aloe Yoga and I have one of those hoodies, and it's a God's gift to me. It's so nice.
Yeah.
I don't wear it anymore because of represent, but I'm saying it's so nice. And they have like a men's section. It's like three items.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like 500 items for the chicks. But in fitness itself, there's not a lot of female brands, and I don't understand why.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's like, and the brands that are like, even the brands that are trying to, or were trying to get into like Hyrox, like they're all like scrunch butt booty shorts for like
so
squatting.
Nasty.
I can't race in that. I'm going to have like chafe in my butt crack. Like that's not going to work. You know what I mean?
If I caught my girlfriend wearing pants like that, I'd send her to jail. You're out.
I would love to help like create a brand for actual high intensity athletics, not just right.
I'm trying to honestly invest in the female space of fitness. We're bringing these two girls on, and they're gonna work underneath our Here to Party Sports podcast, and we're trying to like bring up the female space, because they're the first two chicks that I've met in a while that have this cool attitude about them. They're just fun. And I'm like, this is somebody I can invest in. Like, I can see this getting big, kind of like Call
Her Daddy.
Oh,
my chopped liver over here?
No, but you don't have a podcast. You like, okay. These girls are investing in that podcast.
I do have a podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
RMR. Yeah, it's RMR.
I'm not trying to insult. I'm not. Sorry.
I know. No, I'm kidding. It's fine.
Yeah. But these girls, like, you know, I think you should be in that space. There needs to be more female voices in sports. Like, every dude in the world has a podcast now. Like, I almost feel embarrassed by the fact that I have a podcast. But
two white dudes sitting on a podcast talking about Joe Rogan.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. That's our life, dude. That's our life.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start going through some of these things.
Okay.
Because these people really, they care. Oh, this is a dick move. Does tall glass of Willie. That's weird. Does Meg have bigger biceps than you? What is the size of your arms?
I don't know. My shoulders are pretty big.
I measured 40 the other day.
I've never measured my biceps because like, why? But.
Because it's amazing.
I feel like we at dinner were like comparing a little bit. I think I'm pretty close.
I had 16 and a half not too long ago. My goal was to get to 17. So I shouldn't be that far off from there.
40. The person that was taking the measurements maybe was in like millimeters or something.
Yeah.
What happened?
What do you think the best way is to improve your kilometer time in High Rocks?
Threshold running.
Nice, nice.
What does that mean? Threshold, just like...
Like repeats of stuff. And just... Yeah, no, but I mean, it's just like any regular runner who's trying to get faster is doing threshold running repeats. So it could be 10 by 1K. It could be 6 by 1 mile. It could be 12 by 800. That's how you're going to get faster overall as a runner. And then kind of like coming into a compromised running workout or like a sim, you know, and trying to get as close to that same threshold pace in a sim as you can. That's kind of what I've been doing. And that's what's been working for me. Yeah, giving all the secrets.
Do you both think you can beat your world record time? And what would be your goal time this season?
My goal time is 57.
From Dehan 44.
I want to be in the 57s this year.
God, that would knock a lot of guys on their ass.
I know. I love to like see what place I am in the men's side with my time. I think I would have been 10th. The 10th male.
Overall in that event?
Yep.
Harsh, dude. Okay, Nat Slashback is wondering, you kind of already answered this, but how much time do you think you're going to take off until you start really pushing the pace again?
We got 8 weeks until the next race that I'm doing. So I give myself a little break mentally. Like I said, like I just do what I want for at least a week and then slowly start hitting the runway again. I think the biggest thing is when you have a really high base level of fitness as it is, you don't need a ton of weeks of progression to get to where you need to be. And I'm sure you feel that way too. Like I don't need a 12-week cycle to get me to PR anymore. You know what I mean? So
I'm a big believer in periodization. Like I think the reason why I got my world record this year is because like I've been building up year after year with the same specific formula. So like I'm not even in shape right now. I just ahead of where I was this time last year, and it was a world record because I was in world record shape last year.
Right.
But I haven't started any of the works that really move the needle for me that make me feel like a weapon. Like I'm like a big piece of steel that hasn't been sharpened yet, at least in my mind. So I'm still building the steel a little bit.
Are you still on pace to do Murph?
I know. I mean, like I don't really like talking about this just because like, it's like excuse giving, but I pulled my lat 3 weeks ago doing Murph. And even doing push-ups just pulls my chest forward, which pulls my lat out of position and just messes me up even more. So I haven't done any workouts for Murph in weeks. And I'd rather not be the guy who just starts making excuses. Like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut until I feel good again. But I was in really good shape. And this is like I made a post a couple weeks ago where I said, like, you know, something about weight vest training is like really epic, but it's like it's a double-edged sword. Like it cuts back. Like because of the amount of volume that you're doing on it, you just all of a sudden that extra 10% plus of body weight can now all of a sudden just pull a lat out. It can give you just like little tweaks and tendonitis in your pec and your pec and your bicep and stuff. And like even my back is messed up from using it so much. Like I didn't think it was going to. It's almost like with rucking, like I kind of think the amount of people that are super excited about rucking right now is kind of stupid. Like everyone's super, super into it. And then you're going to notice there's going to be a lot of injuries that come out of this. Like almost like CrossFitters and chiropractors. Like chiropractors love CrossFitters. They're going to fall in love with the Go Ruck company because like the majority of injuries, like you can look into it in the military. These people get really hurt from doing lots of rucking in the military.
Yeah. Well, there's no buildup. It's like just full send. You know what I mean? So I can confirm his lat is legit hurt, though.
Dude, it was so bad.
Confirm.
I fell asleep on the plane yesterday laying back with my arms above my head, and I woke up, and this whole side was so seized up. I had to, like, walk around the airplane like this for a while. I don't think it's a tear. Like, I've sat and talked to a couple people. They say it's like I hurt my rotator cuff, and the muscles underneath my infraspinatus, like the – so teres minor or teres major back there is strained. So it's stupid.
You're okay skiing and stuff, like doing the ski erg, like that's fine.
it's okay. It's not as good as it was before. Like, I probably could have pulled like another 3 to 5 seconds off my 500 time on both rowers and stuff like that, but I can't do that like last little, you know? And I was even doing it, like when we were pulling and set doing that race, I could feel every single stroke. And my fear is all of a sudden, like I had body work done just recently and the person was looking at me. They're like, this whole side of yours is locked up. And now because it's all locked up, all the muscle, because you move like this when you run, is now coming across into my right hip. And this right hip is doing more work because this right up, left upper body is locked in and protecting itself. Yeah. And it's one of these kind of things where all of a sudden you just do week after week after week like this. And all of a sudden, like a big injury happens.
Yep.
And you don't even recognize it. Like, I think this all spurred from, I rolled my ankle really, really badly on my right side. This sounds so ridiculous. On my right side, doing the Appalachian Trail. And I left the trail early because I had hurt myself badly. And then all of a sudden, the protection of me being on the right side, now all of a sudden I was using like lots of stuff on the left side dominantly. And then it kept on just progressing week after week after week. And now all of a sudden I'm doing butterfly pull-ups and this muscle group on the left is still pulling more, more work than this side. I know this all sounds ridiculous, but only reason why I'm kind of saying is because people who are listening to this, if you start to recognize this stuff is going on in your system, like you should be aware of it. These are how injuries that are minor turn into major.
Yeah.
Wreck a whole season. So I don't know. What do you think it will take to make High Rocks big in the United States?
It's growing here, which is good. The races are primarily sold out and selling out. I don't know. I think as we see CrossFit not growing anymore, I think it's actually probably, I don't know, getting smaller. I think that will help it grow here as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's interesting. Like the entire fitness community in the UK and Europe and Spain is like so into it.
Yeah.
I was texting one of the girls that came to our Battle Bunker event who's got a big social media following this morning, and she's coming to LA High Rocks. And I was just saying to her, I was like, we do need more people like you guys who are so invested in CrossFit to come over and start doing some High Rocks to just like, you know, like when the cool kid just like goes over and tries something new and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, that's cool now. Like that needs to happen over here. And it's just not happening at the level that it's happening over in Europe. So
yeah.
That at least be my opinion. But I'll tell you, every single sponsor that I have is out of UK and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. I don't get a dollar from the United States. I haven't raced in the United States for income or with any kind of sponsorship capacity in 2 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a dead market to me, for me right now. So screw you, United States. Have you done the wall balls unbroken from Big Bad Boy Bobby D?
Me?
Yeah.
Is this a joke?
I don't know. Have you?
I've never not gone unbroken.
Really?
I've never broken.
In every race I've done. Why do you think the guys don't do it then? Because I got to 70.
Y'all are like babies. Everybody, I'm so tired of this whole thing about the men being like, it's double scaled. It's a heavier ball and it's a foot higher.
I'm not saying anything.
Hunter,
you are
like 6 inches taller than me. You know what I mean? Like, I know you're not. Every dude, and including my business partners, shots fired at them. They're all think it's double scaled. Here's the thing. If you give me a 20-pound ball and a 9-foot target, I can guarantee you I will still do them unbroken because I will work myself to that point where I can. And I could probably almost do it right now. I think, I don't know what it is about the women's side of why, maybe it's our ability to get like below parallel. And like, I use the bounce out of the bottom. That helps me a lot. The top like 5 or 6 almost of the whole women's field, every race is doing them unbroken. We don't really have a choice at this point. So
I don't know. I'm not doing that.
Which is fine. Like, some people might be faster breaking. You know, it's just up to you. But for me, it's faster to just keep going.
I did a 323 wall ball just now with a 70-20-10.
Mm-hmm. But you took, like, no break. Like, your break was super tiny. It was minuscule. It was, like, 2 seconds.
Necessary, though. I can do sets of 10 in 340.
Yeah.
All the way through. Little breaks. And it just depends for me. Like, I'm putting a lot of work in, and usually I'm just winning at that point. If, let's just say, What's-His-Face was closer, and I felt like I needed to, maybe I would have done them. Noel Rat again coming in. Noel Rat coming in with some data saying Bo went unbroken. Bo was impressive this weekend.
Yes, he was.
Very happy for him.
Yes.
A lot of these questions are pretty nonsensical. What would you say? This is just, you got to share your opinion. Run Dr. Run says, which proportionally world record is better? Your record or my record?
When did you break the record for the first time? How long were you doing high rocks?
I mean, I technically broke it right away, but there was not a lot of people there.
Okay.
It was a soft field.
I don't know. I think we're so used to Hunter breaking them now that it's like, kind I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of like, okay. We could have guessed. You know, I don't know. I think the me breaking 60 minutes was a dope moment, because that I'm the first one to ever do it. So, can never be taken from me. But also, I don't think people thought the women were going to go sub 60 last year. And so it was cool that we did. And then we saw it. Lauren did it at Worlds too. So it was like two of us. So that was pretty cool.
Are you a big believer in these like storm hard? Like, are you a believer in the differences in the courses? Like, do you feel like Chicago is a different, like enough of a difference for you?
Yeah.
In Stockholm?
Yeah. The runs were longer in Chicago for sure. Not by that much, but by a little bit. I mean, I feel like it's hard for me to say, because now I feel like I only race on the grid now. Like, I'm not doing a regular race at all.
Out of curiosity, did you guys do the farmers carries on the grid, or did you do it in like a subsection?
In Chicago, we did it on the grid.
Yeah.
So that may have been, that may have been the reason. Huge difference.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Right. But then, like, when I did doubles in Dallas, it was like three laps. The course was insanely crowded. Like, we were weaving like crazy. Like, all of those things make a huge difference. You know, how many times you're turning, what the turns were like. Like, we had great turns in Stockholm where they were like really nice curves, like just like being on a track. But like in Dallas, they were literally 90 degree angles. I was like flying out to the side every time. All that stuff makes a huge difference.
This is an interesting question. This guy, Danny Capella, asks, how do you be strong and fast and not skinny? I guess a better question that I'll redirect it. I want to be more specific, because everyone asked that dumb question. Do you think that if you had not had an endurance career before getting bigger versus being bigger and then having an endurance career afterwards was the better move for you?
Yes. 100%. 100%.
People who are not coming in with an endurance background are in big trouble.
When pre-COVID, when I was running some of the fastest times ever in my life, I weighed 128 pounds. I put about 8 to 10 pounds of muscle on in 1 year when I just simply focused on strength training and eating. This is the biggest thing. I take creatine every single day.
Should be taking X2, I'm just saying.
And I eat. Like, it's not that hard. And these are also answers to recovery. And I get these questions constantly. What do you take for recovery? What do you do for recovery? I eat, I sleep, and I take my supplements. That's literally what I do. it's really not like rocket science. You know, it's making sure that you're getting enough carbs, enough protein. I don't track super specifically, but I can tell by how I feel and by how I look if I'm hitting the numbers that I should be hitting with my food. It's really just that, you know.
I ate a whole rotisserie chicken at 3:45 this morning. Swear to God.
Exactly.
Yeah. My
gains.
My favorite stories for Hunter eating was we went out. It was the first time I got brought on with the company, and he's like, "All right, we're to go do a company dinner. We got a tomahawk steak. We got the loaded potatoes. We got everything." We get back. We're going to watch action movies. He goes back over to the kitchen, brings out four grilled chicken, just non-breaded grilled chickens, and cuts up the grilled chicken. He's like, "I got to have some more food." And like, we just finished a huge tomahawk, and you're eating four more grilled chickens all in the same meal. And so, yeah. At the end of the evening.
Captain Beef, dude. What do you want? Captain Beef? Hold it down.
There are definitely like women who are leaner and they got ripped up abs and whatever, and that's great, but is it really helping?
Mostly, you know? I have ever seen the leanest athletes tend to have softer results. They just, for some reason, they spend so much time trying to be so lean. They don't spend enough time building horsepower, which for me is everything. You know, like, I have a Ram TRX. It's a 7,000-pound truck, and it's going to fuck up all the tiny cars. It's just going to...
It's a pavement princess, though. It's a pavement princess.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not, dude. There's mud on it right now, dude. It is a grown ass man truck. You shut your mouth.
How much can you load in the dumper?
It's embarrassing, dude. There's racing shocks on it. Everyone makes fun of me because whenever we have like work to do, I'm like, "Don't you put any weight in the back of my truck because it has this racing suspension and it won't hold weight. It will wreck the entire $30,000 suspension in the car." All right,
but you got to
stop. It's not a gardener's truck. It's not a gardener's truck.
It's very
fuck you
fast.
Guys. I'm offended. Okay.
It roars all over the road. I tell you,
it does. It's intimidating. Okay, the difference between, do you spend more time on the track, road, or treadmill?
It's
That's
tough.
John Clark.
John Clark. Oh, I feel like I know him.
He's a good guy.
I definitely treadmill because of where I live. And when you're doing like compromise sessions, like, I'm not going to run out the door into a parking lot. You know what I mean? Like of my gym, and then like run back in the door and like hop on the ski erg. So I do a lot on a motorized treadmill. Obviously in the summer I'm on the road and on the track, and I do all my easy runs on the road, but a lot of my threshold and interval sessions end up being on a treadmill, especially like today. There's snow on the ground, so won't be on a track today.
Not in Malibu. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit, girl. Suck that. Sorry.
You're not sorry.
I'm not. Dude, George called me this morning, and he was like, "Yo, dude, how does it feel to be home?" I'm like, "I'm so happy. I don't want to come back anymore to London." And like, I have to go back to London next month, but I literally cannot begin to tell you like the level of like depression that was like floating through my body. Cause every time I walked outside, it was still dark. It didn't matter if it was noon, it was just dark and it was raining. Or when we were in Stockholm, it was snowing.
It was snowing. It's
like, what am I supposed to do right now? And we just like went from like store to store. Paleo, the guy who raced Elite 15 Men, wants to know how you handle jet lag.
Oh, I love Paleo. Shout out to him. He's done great this year, which is cool. I drink my BCAs and hydrate on the way over. Drink that all night.
How many days did you come over prior?
I flew over on Wednesday night, so I landed Thursday morning. Biggest thing for me that I've learned that I need to do is I need to sleep when I get there before I do any kind of working out. And I think this is the key for me that has helped significantly. So I take a nap, I try to get a couple hours of sleep in, then I do my run or whatever that I need to do. But that's been, I think, the difference.
Even if you fly and show up at like 9 a.m. as 9 a.m. local time, you sleep.
Yeah. I'm taking a nap. So, here's the thing, when you come over that close to the race, you're not getting on time. Mm-hmm. So like, who cares? Like, just get as much rest, in my opinion, as you can. Like, that whole like stay up, try to get on their time schedule, blah, blah, blah. If you're there a week or two before, then yes. But if you're there 2 days before, you just need to get as much recovery and much sleep as you can. So like, you know, just do it when you can. That worked really well for me this time. So that's what I'm sticking to.
So in the end of all this conversation, I can't ask any more of these questions. They're just like asking about your shoes and all that kind of stuff.
If you want to know, you can DM me and I'll maybe reply about my shoes.
You don't want to open up that door.
I feel like I've talked about my shoes a billion,
listen to
trillion
my previous
times.
RMR podcast.
Yeah.
Do you have more dudes DMing you or chicks?
I would say it's an equal mix of both.
How much of it is like, hey, what's up? Or how much is like, hey, what's up?
What's up?
Also probably an equal amount.
Dude, I get no play in my DMs. It's just like dudes being like, I love your arms so strong. it's not even gay. It's just like dudes who wish they were me.
Yeah.
And they just like DM me stuff that's like so weird. I don't know what it is. I guess it's cool to know that you are inspiring or exciting people that much. They just feel compelled to say something to you. Mm-hmm. So I can't complain. But I don't have the dirty inbox that most people would imagine. It's a lot more just like straight dudes who are just pumped. So good for you, dude. And take all those compliments, because eventually those compliments probably are not going to come as much as they are now.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Anytime one of my hot girlfriends is like, hey, it's just these guys that went all over me. I was like, yo, if you were as ugly as a stump, no one would reach out. Like, you are blessed. You're blessed. So take all the compliments, write the guy back something to say, thank you. Made my day.
Okay.
That might put you at risk for more of those things. But I'm just letting you know, you guys are lucky. So in ending, I'm really glad that you're back in like this place where you're a weapon. I don't think you ever lost the being a weapon, but what you've done is you've survived the storm that most rookie athletes have to go through at some point, and you survived it. Like, a lot of people can't say that they did that. And
I appreciate that.
Now it's your choice and your opportunity to see what you can do with this.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're on a peak right now. There's going to be another valley. It may not be losing. It might just be the complexity of like having a family life, a business life, and sports life. And one of them is going to have to take a little bit less energy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just survive that.
Yep.
Literally 2 months ago, I was like in the worst place I've been in a long time. And then literally yesterday, I was in the best place I've been in probably my entire life.
Yeah.
And it's one of these kind of things where you're just like, whoa. And if you can find to be the person who's able to absorb those hits when they come, dude, you'll be the best person in the sport. You'll change the world. So you've already made it through the first one. I look forward to seeing you make it through the next.
Thanks, Brand. Appreciate it. Always appreciate your advice as well, as someone who's been living it for quite a few years. I'm still like a baby. I'm just a toddler in this game so far. So
a lot to learn, a lot to
take live. All the advice I can get.
Yeah, guys, anybody who's been tuning in, I want to thank you guys so much. I know we ramble on for a bit, and you know, it's one of these kind of things where we do this every Monday and sometimes Thursdays just to give you guys insight to what this world is like. I know a lot of you are inspired. You know, we give people like Megan a platform to be able to kind of expose herself more and be able to learn and share. If you guys want to get involved in anything that we're doing, my team's been busting their ass absolutely on making the best content possible in this sport. And we have an episode coming out today about breaking the world record and racing over in Stockholm. If you guys want to get invested in what we're doing in our training company, we have House Training. Meg also has a company that's absolutely incredible. They have probably an even better company than we have. Just kidding.
RMR.
Another really cool opportunity to work with somebody else who's a master of sport. And my favorite part of our company has to be by far our supplement company. Like, we've been leveling up so much. We probably blew through. I think we don't even have StrengthX2 in the UK anymore. We sold so much of it during Black Friday. We're going to be out for a while, but you guys can still get it here in the States. And I am fully behind all these products. You know, Meg said supplements are a big part of her career, and it's a big part of mine. So if you guys want to have any tips or tricks, just reach out to us and we'll do our best to kind of fill you guys in what we do to be our best so you can be your best. I got a piece. So
thanks
bad.
For having me.
I'm out, guys.
No Ryan, way. I'll you meeting in later. 20 minutes, Hunter.
See you, bud.
All right, bye.
Bye, Ryan.